name's Danny Brooks. I'm an Aquarius. I like beaches and vacation. I'm married to this beautiful lady that plays keyboard, a woman of many talents. We've been married this August will be 10 years. It's good. Yeah, we made it. We did it, you know? Like, we're doing good, so it's good. I found out, some really great things through marriage. One, that of course I knew beforehand how talented and gifted that my wife was, but there was one talent that I didn't understand that she had that's a super convenient talent for my life. And I found that out after I got married, and that is she knows everything. She's right about it all. So I found that out. And now my life's super easy. Like, all I do is I just walk, and she's like, go, no, over there. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. You know, so it's real convenient. Like, I hope you guys can find someone like that that can just point you in a direction, just go. Like, room, you know, like, it's great. It's real nice, so it's easy life for me. So we've been married 10 years now, almost, and been together for about 12. We met at church. I did not go to church as a kid, regularly anyways, I was helping my dad. By helping, I mean I was picking up trash mostly, because my dad works construction, so he was pouring this concrete. Once again, I am not the one with the skills in this relationship that we have, so he's pouring concrete and I'm doing, well, whatever I do, you know. And so this janitor asked me if I was going to youth camp, and I was like, no. I am 17, so I'm way too cool for youth camp. So my dad's like, hey, if you go, I'll pay for you to go. And so I was like, okay, well, now we're talking about free vacation surrounded by girls. So, yeah, I'm down, you know. So I go, and for my whole life, since, I don't know, eighth grade-ish, I would say, my mom can verify later if you need specifics, I always wanted to be a physical therapist. Like, everything that I trained myself to be was a physical therapist. Like, I loved physical therapy. And the reason was I had this experience with my mom. It wasn't my experience, where she had a tumor in her spine, and it was a decent size, right? And so they had to, but it was, like, kind of inside. So they had to, like, canoe it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you picture what a canoe is, they had to, like, kind of do that in her spine. And so she couldn't walk. So there's this guy named Chad that worked at the hospital in Hannibal, where I'm from, and he taught her how to walk again, like, helped her get back on her feet and walk and maintain a normal life. Like, she couldn't walk at all. And so I saw that happening, and I was like, that's what I got to do with my life. I got to help people walk, you know? And I didn't realize that was kind of imagery for what I was truly going to be doing with helping people walk. So God has great destinations, but his journey isn't a straight line all the time. You might be going in a certain direction, but you're actually going to end up over here for your fulfillment. And so it was really cool to be kind of a part of that. So I go to this youth camp, get saved, called into ministry. Funny thing, Doug Reed is the one that's preaching this youth ministry. And as I was kind of telling the story last service, Doug Reed's just this guy in my life that kind of randomly, you guys have those, like, random encouragement people in your life, you haven't seen them for years, and all of a sudden you see them and they're like, hey man, you're looking good. Good job with this and that. And you're like, oh man, I needed that. Like, they just randomly show up. That's Doug Reed in my life. Like, he just randomly shows up at points that I need him to. Youth camp was one. When I became a youth pastor, I was actually, my first year being a youth pastor at that camp, he was the speaker again. So I got to introduce him, kind of tell him the story, because he was preaching at youth camps all over. So, I mean, I didn't expect him to remember me. You know, he preaches to thousands of kids every weekend. And this was like 4 or 5 years later. So then, go to this youth camp, become a youth pastor. I was a junior high youth pastor in Hannibal in a really big youth group we had started. We got to where we were averaging anywhere from 250 to 300 kids a night. It was just blowing up. It was awesome. And then God called the youth pastor down to Wentzville to plant a church, and I felt like God was pulling me down here too. So I came down here with him. We started a church called True Life Chapel in Wentzville. It was going on for about 7 or 8 years. It became Journey Wentzville, our Wentzville campus, and then we ended up merging together into Journey Church, all in Troy. So it's pretty crazy, because when Jesse, I've been coming to this church, we merged about I've been to five Easters, so 4 years ago, and so through that, it was really funny, because when Jesse was talking to me and kind of explaining the structure of the church and stuff, and he's talking about how we have this executive board, and those are the people that kind of help make decisions, and he's like, oh, and Doug Reed's on this board, and I'm like, of course he is, because this guy follows me everywhere I go, you know, and so he's a really cool guy. He comes and speaks here every once in a while, but it's just funny how stuff lines up like that. And so here I am now. I'm doing the kids ministry over here. I've been doing that for, this is going to be my third kids camp, so I guess 2 years. It's been great. Anybody who has kids, like the team over there, like you don't get any better than that. Like, and that's not like my accomplishment. It's them. Like their heart for your kids and the way that their passion goes into their lesson plans and into their just the time that they spend with your kids. Like you can't match that. I can't. That's not something I can create. It's just a passion that they have inside of their hearts. So if you're leery about sending your kids over there, don't be, because they are fantastic. And I love being a part of that team. So that's kind of who I am, where I've come from, and so my passion for ministry, though, is kind of focused in taking what we learn on Sunday and stringing it out throughout the week. That's why I choose the curriculum we have over there. That's why I push to our leaders to make sure they communicate to the parents, like, hey, this is, you know, here's your parent card to take home, and we even update the app and stuff like that so that you can be tuned in to what we learned on Sunday and pushing it into your home, because I don't think that the church should be an experience. It should be a lifestyle. The way that we follow Christ should be the lifestyle, not just something that happens every once in a while for us. So that's kind of my heart. That's where I'm from. That's where I'm going. And that's what's up. So we'll get started now, finally, right? So first, we are talking about today. I wanted to talk about pursuit. So I was like, what movie could we use? So I said, hey, why don't we just use the movie with the word in it, Pursuit of Happiness? So I was like, yeah, that'll work out. This is my conversations that I have in my head. Happens all the time. So it's fine. And so Pursuit of Happiness is based off the life and story of Chris Gardner, who is a real person. This is based on a true story. Chris Gardner, if I had to put him as somebody in my life, like a person that I know, he is that guy that you know that's always like looking for that next like QVC item to sell to people or whatever. Like, he's that guy that's like, oh man, I can make like $20 off of this. Let me like spend some money, invest in it, and I'm going to do it. And then he doesn't follow through and he doesn't finish things off. Like, he'll just get this stuff and then he just kind of is left with it. So Chris Gardner, he goes and he invests, basically takes his life savings, puts it into these scanners. There's these bone density scanners. And as you can tell, like, no, not everybody needs a bone density scanner, like, in their house or something. So they're very expensive and they're hard to sell. And he put all of his money into these bone density scanners. So he takes these scanners and he's, you know, driving around, selling them to hospitals or whoever. And so he goes in to sell one. He didn't get the sale, of course. He comes back out. It's gone. Somebody stole it. Problem is, he's responsible for all of his scanners. So he has to pay for that scanner out of his own money that he didn't sell it. So it's not like he's got money coming in to provide for that. So he can't pay his bills. His wife or his girl's just like, look, I'm done with this. Like, I'm sick of waiting for this next thing to turn around. She's like, I'm out. And he's like, well, you can't take the kid because you wouldn't be able to provide for him. She's like, you're right. You know what? I'll just leave him with you. See ya. And so she leaves. He was thinking that maybe she'll stay if I throw this, but she didn't. She goes. He's left with the kid. So now he's got this thing where he's got to figure out, like, how am I going to provide for this kid? Well, bad things continue to happen. Like, he's still making bad decisions as far as financial decisions. So he ends up getting evicted out of his place. They're staying in, like, these bathrooms, you know, him and his son. And so he runs into this stockbroker guy. And he is dressed to the nines, like he just looks like he's got it going on. So he looks at him and he says, man, how do I get to where you're going? So they end up in this cab together. The guy gives him an Rubik's Cube. He sets this Rubik's Cube. During the cab ride, he gets a Rubik's Cube and he's done, like before the cab ride even stops. So the broker guy's like, hey man, I need you to come be a part of this internship. I think you'll be great at it. So he looks at this opportunity. He's got no clothes. He's got no suit. He's got nowhere to stay. He's got no reason to think that he has a chance. But yet he says, you know what? I'm not even going to think about that. I'm thinking about this opportunity that I have to change my son's life. And so that's where I'm going to leave it off until later. So that is pursuit of happiness. He grabs it, and he's like, I'm going to change my identity. I'm going to change my future today. And he grabs that opportunity. So the first point that I want to talk about is making it your own. Pursue your happiness. Pursue what you need in life. Pursue your happiness, not what others want or what others expect. Others look at Chris Gardner and they might think, man, this guy's got no shot. And you might feel like that in your life. People are looking at you saying, this dude's got no shot. This girl's got no shot to complete what she feels like or he feels like is laid on their heart to complete. But the funny thing about others' expectations is they're not what God has for us. They're not God's expectations. They're other people's expectations. They're the way other people think your life is supposed to be. And those kind of expectations and those kind of just pressures are exhausting on us. Because a lot of times we'll run with those expectations. A lot of times we'll run with those pressures. Even though it doesn't make us happy. Even though we know, even when we get to the end of this road, it's still not what I want. And I'm still not going to be happy. So we run to the end of this road, we get to the end, and we're just like, well, this isn't even what I wanted, and yet here I am. This isn't what I needed in my life, and yet here I am by following all these other people's expectations or what other people view as success. Like, just because they think this is success or just because you look at somebody and they look happy to you, that doesn't mean that's what your happiness comes from. That's not what your joy comes from. Those kind of trails, that kind of following is exhausting and it's unrealistic for your life. And it's unsustainable. You know, I was looking, this was several years back, I'm 32, this was when I was like 25-ish, you know. So I'm sitting, and it's actually at church, and I'm sitting there, and you know, how many of you, when you first got married, like, you just made some bad money choices? Anybody else? Just me? Okay. Me and those two guys? Okay. So we just get married. We don't even have a house. We're, like, staying at the church, you know? And so we get together, and we're like, you know, it would be awesome. Why don't we just go spend $2,000 on a dog, you know? Like, let's do it, you know? We can't have the dog at the church or anything, but, hey, we really want this dog. So we did, and we're like, that was great, you know? We could have saved that wedding money, but no, we wanted this dog. Now I look at that thing every day, and I'm like, you did this to me. But you're so stinking cute. I love you. So, you know, you make these bad decisions when you start out. So everybody does it, though. Like, you find yourself, you're 25, you know, you don't have your house paid off. You don't have your cars paid off. You don't have that boat that guy has. You just got this dog that's just tearing everything up, you know? It's all you got. And so you're looking, you know, this is where I'm at in life at this moment, you know? So I'm looking, and I see this guy that I know pretty well at church, and I'm like, man, like, this dude has it, you know? Like, I know him pretty well. He has his stuff paid off. He's got these new cars. He's got this house that's by, like, a lake even. Like, it's just good stuff that I know, you know? This is all great. Like, I want this. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I need to go buy a house by a lake. Like, that's what I need to do to be happy. Like, that's what I'm going to go do. I'm going to go do this, you know? But something, like, checks me and is like, hey, man, why don't you just, like, talk to this guy first and see what the deal is? So I'm like, yeah, maybe I should talk. So I go and I set up this, you know, dinner with him or whatever, and I'm talking to him. And he's like, man, do you know what was going on in my life when I was 25? I was making bad decisions too, and I was broke. He said, but I had to choose to focus on that financial freedom. I had to choose to change the way that my mind worked. I had to choose the way I spend my money. That's why I'm retired now and I have all this stuff. He's like, I had to work at that. I had to sacrifice my wants for the things that I needed in that moment, you know, and because I knew where I wanted to get. And so that saved me probably a lot of money having that conversation, because it's unrealistic to stretch yourself to fit what somebody else has in their life, and it's unrealistic to stretch your stuff to fit what somebody else has in their life, because their whole life is a totally different situation than what you got going on. You got to focus on what you have going on and taking that next step to get to that success, to get to that victory. You don't have to jump 10 miles in a year. I can't compare it to, like, as a 25-year-old with a brand new job. I can't expect myself to have the same nice stuff as somebody that is an established financial wizard, you know? So it's not realistic, but it is realistic to approach that man or that woman and say, hey, help me make a plan. I want to get to where you are, you know? And so we can get just so sidetracked, you know, viewing those other successes or viewing our failures and defeating ourselves and putting all this self-doubt in us. Like, we get so sidetracked on what we're supposed to do. Like, if this is where you want to go, like, make a plan for it. Don't jump there and think that you're going to land on solid ground, because that's not the way it works. Like, you got to make a plan. So when me and Brittany were first talking, we want to rewind. We're going back, you know, 12 years. So when me and Brittany were first talking about, you know, what's up, you know, you like me, I like you, are we doing this, you know? And so she was like, no. And so I was like, well, let's talk it out, you know, we'll see what happens. So we're talking, and so as you know, young Christians that, you know, are going after God, dude, they're like, you know, what's God, what do you want to do with your life? What's God going to do through your life? And blah, blah, blah. And so you get all this, like, super spiritual stuff, and then you get all these, like, complex dreams and all this kind of thing, like, rolled up in this ball, you know, in this conversation. But what it melted down to, and we got to this point, like, we melted it down to this point, is we just want to help as many people as we can. Like, that's what we want to do. So what, I didn't call it this at the time, it was just, like, something that we agreed, like, yeah, that's what we want to do with our life. But I find it's very important to have mission statements throughout our life. Like, businesses have them. You know, like Walmart, save money, live better. Like, that's what they do. Everything they do goes off of those two statements for their business. Journey Church, love him, love his word, love his world. Very simple, concise statements that say, everything that I do from now on is going off of this statement, going off of this direction. So what we came to the conclusion of, everything that we do in our life, like, even when I'm driving through and this is one of those things where these mission statements aren't things for feelings or what you want. It's just like, this is who I am. Like, I'll be driving through Hardee's, getting, you know, a salad, and so, yeah, somebody got it. So you drive through, and they're like, oh, hey, you know, that's great, you're getting this, blah, blah, here's your total. Would you like to give a dollar to whatever random charity we're doing today? I'm like, yes, that's fine. Like, and then you have those moments where you're just like, I don't want to, like, in my flesh, I don't want to do it, but I know it's the thing I got to do because this is what I'm doing, because this is my direction in life. So anyway, it's just like a little, you know, example of that. But just to keep things realistic and keep things moving, we have to use those statements to kind of prioritize, you know, what we're doing in life. Like, you know, I have these little papers on the seats because I would like to encourage you to grab one. If you don't have a set direction, I'm not talking about goals. No numbers are attached to it or anything like that. This is just like where I'm at in my life and where I want to be in my life. Like, I just need a statement that keeps me on track, because chances are we're not going to help everybody that we could help. But if I always come back to that statement, and I say, this is the way my life is going to go, I will help more people than I would have if I wouldn't have been heading in that direction already. So it's just a really good thing to provide clarity, because clarity makes room for victory. Because anytime you're on a mission, you hear mission, the word mission, you just take the word statement out of it. Hear the word mission, you know, in my mind, I think like we're going to go save this guy out of the enemy's territory. So we're all going to, like, you know, parachute down, grab this dude and shoot some people and get out, you know, and it's going to be great because we saved this guy. But real life, like, a mission for me would be like, all right, sitting in my car in the parking lot and I'm like, all right, I'm just getting Oreos. Like, that's it. Like, when I get in there, like, that's all I'm doing. No other thing can sway me. And I go in there, I grab those Oreos and I put my head down and I check out, you know. But if I go in there and I'm like, I just need some stuff, and I'm super hungry. And so I go in there, and I'm like, I'll take some of these chips. I'll take some of this ice cream, maybe one of these Nathan's pack of hot dogs, you know, whatever it may be. And then I'll grab some Oreos and make my way out. See, the whole time I was wanting Oreos, but one time I had a specific mission in mind, and the other time I'm just wandering around. You know, and that's kind of a silly way to look at the way that we sometimes walk through our purpose that God has for us. Like there's a blanket purpose out there, and there's a certain direction he wants us to go, but sometimes we just wander around through that purpose, and we end up where we're supposed to go, but it could have been a much more direct line if we would have just followed the next right step, you know, and what he had for us. And that is pursuing our happiness. Like, we've got to choose to pursue our happiness, to pursue our joy, because we're all, as our kids camp slogan is, gadgets and gizmos. He actually had it right the first time, but is uniquely wired and wonderfully made, and that is what we are. Like, you guys are, and I am, uniquely wired and wonderfully made. That means stuff that makes me happy and joyful is not the stuff that makes you happy and joyful, usually. Like, we all have different things, so you can't look at me and go, that is what happiness looks like, so that's what I got to do. Because happiness looks like something different to everybody. It could be that I have this fancy job, or it could be that I have all this time to spend with my kids. Like, either one of those two could be your happiness, and they're both fine. Like, we've got to get out of the comparison, life comparison area that, you know, America and we are all in. Like especially when you see pictures, like, on social media and stuff, you're like, oh, man, they're at the beach, they're having a great time. You didn't see, like, 20 minutes before when they're all in the, you know, the apartment and the toilet's overflowing and the kids are like, I don't want to go to the beach, I just want to play on my iPad, you know. You don't see that part. We only show the pictures that make everything look pretty, but I promise you, like, none of us know what's going on right now. Like, we're all just trying to do our best. Like, nobody has the answer. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen next. Nobody knows exactly what your next right answer is. That's why we have to lean on the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to lean on God in all of these situations, so that we can hope and trust in him that this next step I'm going to take is not going to let me fall off the edge of this cliff, you know. So pursuing your happiness that God has put in you will lead you into your purpose. That's why it's so important for our next point. Pursue the need right now. Like, there's a lot of times that as we prioritize our missions and our mission statement, we can see the needs through the fog of the wants. There's a lot of wants out there that we want that are good things. Like, we want a lot of things that are good, that will make our life better, but sometimes we'll skip over the needs because they're harder, sometimes they do, and just grab for those wants. Like, when God gives you, like, a little snippet of the future of what you're going to do, like, when you're praying, you're, God, you know, I just really want to, I want to know what you want out of my life. And he's like, all right, this is where we're going to be. You know, we automatically assume that means, all right, we're going to be there tomorrow, so that's going to be great. But that's not what it means. That's just like, this is what we're striving towards. So let's make this next first step, though, you know, to go to the next level, because it doesn't happen overnight. We have to assess our situations to know, like, what do I need to do next? What's the next right thing to do? What do I need to do right now? And that's, again, where we have to lean through prayer, through God's word, on the Holy Spirit to kind of guide us into those directions. Because we'll see, like, oh, man, that's going to be awesome. And so we'll try to make that leap, right? And so we hit that ground over there, but that ground's not prepared yet because we've skipped steps A, B, and C to go land on step D. So all that ground and all that tilling and all that growth hasn't happened yet, because you don't grow in your destination. You grow in the journey. That's when the tilling happens. That's when the stretching happens. That's when the growth happens, so that when you land in your destination, you can land sure-footed, not land on something that's shaky ground. Mark Batterson, one of my favorite authors. He's actually, we're going to be doing one of his books, The Grave Robber, for our small group session next session coming up this fall. Could you put that quote up? This is a quote that I read a couple years ago that he put up, but it was awesome. We overestimate what we can do in a year. We underestimate what God can do in a decade. And so what that means is we're going to do that jump and overestimate where we're at in our life right now, and we land on this shaky ground, and we go, oh, God, what happened? And he's like, well, you're not supposed to be there. Like, I've told you, like, you got to make these steps. You can't jump over there. So when we land on that shaky ground and we fall, we go, well, guess it wasn't God's will. I shouldn't even have did this. Shouldn't even have tried. So then we start to doubt ourselves again. Even though God's mission hasn't changed, God doesn't change. The mission he had for you doesn't change. Well, how he's made you hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is, Like, you're like, all right, God, what do I need to do? And then he's like, here's what we're going to strive to do. And you're like, all right, now I'm just, you showed me, so now I don't need to talk to you anymore. I'm just going to run that direction and see where I end up, you know? I'm sure I'll end up over there, but most of the time you don't. So it's very important for us to remember, man, God works for the long haul. God's in the growing process, not in the give you what you want right now business. So, but I don't want you to take it as something I'm saying like, oh, you need to set your sights low because you're not going to hit that dream for like 10 years. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we have to trust that the next step that God places in front of us is the right step. Even though my mission might be to get to that wall, if I'm focusing on what God wants me to do, I might come over here and have a conversation with JC, pump up his purpose, and then we're both heading towards our purpose. God takes us in different directions to get to where we need to go. But if we take his direction, we're going to end up exactly where we need to be. Because it's almost universal that when you rush through something, something gets lost, something gets misplaced, something gets overlooked, something gets damaged. Some things are unrepairable. Like, we just run right through it. And sometimes, it's like on the old games, like I used to play this Ninja Turtles video game all the time. But once you get, like, if there was, like, this life over here, but I had a full life, so then I go into this next screen, and they're beating the junk out of me. I'm like, man, I could have really used that life. I can't go back. Like, the screen's already passed. Like, it's not one of those games where you can go back. There's a lot of things. When we rush past in our growing process, like, sometimes we can't go back and recultivate that. That's why it's so important to focus on the next step that God has for you. I wanted to talk, and I asked him permission to do this. I didn't ask her because I didn't see her yet, but if you're out there, Ashley Overstreet, I'm going to tell a story about you, so I hope you're cool with it. Tim, now I have a baby, they're happy, it's great. Tim, we're at the Wentzville campus at this time, and so Tim is just, I mean, he's hurt. Like, he is hurt, and he has a hole in his heart. And, like, he's looking for a mate. Like, he's looking for somebody to stand with him and love and be his everything and just latch on to his life and partner together and move forward. And so I'm sitting here in this process, and this really opened my eyes up to not rushing through things. Because Tim was, you know, man, he was praying, and he was doing everything right, to find this person that he could do that would just complete him. So he's going, and he's going to all these different, like, lunches and stuff like that, and so every time he'd come back, it'd be like, you know, one of the bachelor shows or whatever, where they have the camera on the one girl, and they're like, so how'd it go? And so I'm always like, hey, Tim, how'd it go? And so he's like, oh, this person's great, she's this and that, and blah, 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 and then he used this word. And I swear, I was like, if you use this word one more time, our friendship is over. Like, I'm done with this word. Because this, he would always say, but there was no spark, you know? And I'm just like, if I hear the word spark one more time, like, it's done. Like, we're done. Like, you're going to have to find a new friend. Because I'm just like, every girl, it was just this wonderful girl. We had this wonderful experience where there was no spark. But God told him there would be a spark. So he trusted in the fact that even though he's meeting all these great people, like, there was no spark, and that's what God told him there was. And so I'm being a good friend, you know, trying to force him, like, oh, you should definitely go with this one, you know, trying to give him good advice, like, don't worry about it, just, this is fine. And he's like, no, man, I'm not settling. Like, I'm going to wait until I get what God told me to have, that I would have. And he did, and it ended up wonderful. He's got a wonderful wife. They got a wonderful baby. It was just a great example of just trusting God, even when it doesn't feel right, even when it's not fun, like, you're just trusting God in that next step, and knowing that what God said, there will be a spark, like, saying, he said there's going to be a spark, so I'm not settling for anything less. Like, that is just a testament to just him and his faithfulness in God, and just knowing that, you know, each step that we take can bring us to that purpose or our victory, you know, and he had that in the end. Even though they were small steps, you know, it was impactful because the small steps that he was taking to me was prolonging the process. But sometimes prolonging the journey isn't a bad thing. Sometimes we need to sit in a spot and grow a little bit more. because we're just not ready for that next step. So point number three is pursuing your purpose. So we got pursue your happiness, pursue the need right now, and pursuing your purpose. God has a special way he wants to bring about our purpose, each one of our purposes, and our purpose as a group. We go through, you know, the journey, and we're growing through that. And when we get to that destination, like, it's not really the growing point there. That's almost like a restart or a reboot. Like, what's my next thing? You know, so as we grow through that, we know that, man, God sometimes doesn't work in straight lines. Like, you know, he's not an interstate type of God. He's more of a back road God, where, or like if you're climbing a mountain, like, and I had this experience at Half Dome where it's like, oh, it's only like 8 miles. And then, like, but that's, I guess there's a term called as the crow flies. But I'm like, I don't know many crows that can read road signs. So, like, shouldn't it be, like, people miles, not crow miles? Anyway, I have bitterness towards those signs. So, anyway, so there's switchbacks, right? Which are the worst things in the world, like, if you're ever climbing stuff. Because you're, like, going like this, like, barely making it, but you're just going back and forth and back and forth. Sometimes that's the way God takes us to our destination. Because each time I went through a switchback, there was a new view. There's a new view of what I was about to accomplish. And it was great to have that whole view and the full world view of what I was about to climb. So sometimes he brings about our purpose in a way that we don't expect. I want to talk about a couple scriptures here. First one, let me set the stage. It's the Palm Sunday, so you guys have probably heard it a million times. But this is a little different take on it. So we want to set it up to what's going on right now in this scenario. Now Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, right, on the donkey, fulfilling all these prophecies and all this. And so so the people, the disciples, are just throwing stuff on, like these palm branches, which are illegal at the time, throwing these palm branches, their cloaks. Like, Jesus has basically this red carpet ride to Jerusalem. And so I want to rewind a little bit in their lives. So the Israelites, like, their ancestors are the ones who Moses, you know, brought them out of Egypt. So Moses shows up, right, to talk about a different story. Moses shows up, you know, thousands of years before, and he's like, hey, man, Pharaoh, we're out. Like, we're leaving, and it would be in your best interest to just say, all right, guys, go ahead and go. Like, I don't want these bad things to happen to you, man, but if you resist us, like, I can't, you know, I don't know, you know? And so so Pharaoh's like, well, man, no, like, you can't go because we need you. So, and so then Moses is like, well, God's going to do this, this, and this. And God did that. And Pharaoh finally was like, boo, all right, get out of here, you know? So they leave, and there's all this freedom. Everybody's just joyous. And so their oppression and their slavery is over. Fast forward to where they are now. We got new oppressors in the Roman government. We got these kings and these high priests that just kind of weigh on us, take our money. They tax us to death. So then they're like, all right, Jesus is coming in like Moses. Because, I mean, if we believe that Jesus is, you know, God in the flesh, like, he's going to come in and do this political upheaval. He's going to overthrow the government. We're going to have all this great stuff now. Life is going to be cake, you know. And so will you put that scripture up? So here's what was going. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They're like, yeah, this is about to go down. We're about to overthrow. The whole Roman Empire is going to be just wasted away because God is here. And he's going to start throwing lightning bolts like Zeus and just knocking over everything. And so the next scripture is really powerful, though. And it starts in 41. And it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, now it is hidden from your eyes. Because they perceive Jesus' purpose as this political overthrowing God that's about to just light everybody up that's against the Israelites. The Israelites are taking over the world, like, Jesus is going to be the king of it all, like, it's going to be crazy. But Jesus is like, that's not my purpose, and it stinks that you can't see that. And that's why he's weeping, because he knows they're in a week, they're all going to be super disappointed when he's dead in a tomb. And so it was just, it spoke to me in such a way that, like, sometimes what people want out of you isn't what they need from you. They thought what they wanted was this guy who overthrows the government, makes everything go their direction. But what they needed was a God to come down to their level and take on the hurt and the pain and the sin that they can't. So that in the future, like, they will have a great eternal life. Like, that's so us, though, right? Like, we think about what's going on right now in our life. We're like, man, if we could just fix this, like, life would be, that would be awesome. But God sees the future. God can see the past. God can see choices. God can see all of those things. And he knows, like, and that's where it comes down. I mean, it basically comes down to, do you trust him with your purpose? Do you trust him right now? And do you trust him with your happiness? Because the way he's made you, if you follow what he says, he will end you up where you're supposed to be. He will end you up in your happiness. And there's another scripture I wanted to talk about. And this one is, it's going to sound familiar because we used it last week. But this is just a testament again to why it's so important to constantly be in God's word and reread scriptures. Because you can take something like the story of Lazarus, where Jesse focused on empathy and when Jesus wept. And you can learn stuff from that. And then you can learn something else from it today. You know. And so the scripture goes in John. Excuse me. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Excuse me. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." But even, or we're going to stop right there. I don't want to go forward yet. So he would not have died, right? So Jesus shows up. Jesse broke it down pretty good last week, so I'm not going to get super into it, but Jesus shows up, everybody's just, I mean, beside themselves, crying, and they're upset because this good guy, man, he died. And so Jesus comes, and Martha's out like, hey, man, you're too late, you know, but man, it would have been cool if you could have got here on time and saved him. And then the next, and it says, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, and this is funny because she just said this. Like, remember, like, this just what, like, this conversation is in the middle of happening. Like, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Flip forward. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone rises at the last day. That's what I'm talking about. When we have our expectations on ourselves, like it's so much different than putting your expectations on God. Because Jesus is literally having this conversation like, hey, man, you're too late to save him. He died. And he's like, hey, man, he's going to rise again. And she's like, yeah, I know. He'll rise, you know, when everybody rises in the last day. But Jesus is thinking, is like, no, man, like right now, I'm about to point at him and be like, come forth. And he's going to be alive again. Like, that's what we don't get, like, sometimes, is that God is so much more than us, and he can do so much more than us. If your dream has been shattered, and you step back on that mission statement, you go, all right, I know I messed up, and I strayed away from this mission that you've given me, this purpose you've given me, but if you'll just help me pick this up, like, I know that if you help me pick this up, like, I'll be able to handle it, and we'll be able to do a purpose. And he's like, okay, well, let me fix this. Here you go. Like, go do your purpose. And you're like, well, I know that I'll have to do something less because now I'm less of a human being because I made mistakes. But that's not what Jesus is saying when he hands you back your dream, when he hands you back your life. He's like, I fixed this all the way now, so just continue on. Like, you don't have to settle for a less of a dream just because you messed up. Like, if you can come back to that purpose and God can still direct you and you allow yourself to be directed, like, you can still have that dream that God placed in your heart. It doesn't matter. You can't be too anything. You can't be too late. You can't be too old. You can't be too young. You can't be too poor. You can't be too rich for God to fulfill your purpose inside of you. But it's funny how, you know, we can get disappointed when our life doesn't end up the same. And like, even though we're in the middle of it, it's not like it's over. Like, we're in the middle of this area and we're just like, man, life is just not going the way I thought. And sometimes life doesn't go the way we think or the way we were like it should be or could be. But we can't hang our focus, we can't hang our heart on woulda, coulda, shouldas. Like, we got to hang our heart and our purpose on, what can I do today for my purpose? What's the next thing I can do today? Because like I said, Jesus might not have been the exact person that the people of Israel wanted or that Martha wanted at that time, but he was exactly what they needed and exactly what we needed. There's a story of a father and son, Dick and Rick Hoyt. You might have heard of them. About 10 years ago, there's this crazy video. You're going to see it in a second. Dick Hoyt, they found out they were pregnant. They were going to have this kid. He was so pumped because he just wanted to play baseball with his son or take his son to the park or just sit around and have these great opportunities that fathers get with their sons. You know, and that was like his dream. Like his mission statement in that moment is, I am dad. Like that's who I am. You know, so it's just really cool just hearing their story and knowing how much he just was so passionate just to be a good dad. And so I just want you to watch this video, and we'll talk about it in just a second. You know, yeah, I know, right? Is that not inspirational? You know, I'm sure there were a lot of people in Dick's life that when he got that news of the tragedy of the birth and that his son would have cerebral palsy, I'm sure there were a lot of people that felt sorry for him or felt pity on him or was just like the expectation for him would be to just store his stuff away and love on his kid. But Dick remembered, like, my mission does not change with my struggle, does not change with the challenges that come in my life. My mission is and was and will be, I am dad. That was his mission, and he did everything he could and still does for Rick to feel as normal as possible, because to him, to Dick, Rick is the most precious thing in the world. Like, that is his mission in life. And a lot of times, I don't feel like we treat our purpose or our missions in life like the precious things they are, the precious thing that God has entrusted you with or entrusted me with. And when those struggles come and when those challenges come, we're just so quick to just throw it away. Or maybe when we've jumped too far and there's no solid ground to stand on, maybe we sink down and we blame God or we blame ourselves or we start to doubt what the original purpose was to begin with. But it's important to know, just keep moving forward. Just keep taking that next step and trusting in him. Dick never thought of his son as a burden or a hindrance. He actually drew inspiration out of him. And that's what we should do with God and our purpose, is we should be able to look at our existence, look at our purpose, look at ourselves and say, I'm drawing inspiration because God has trusted me to do great things. Because he has all of us. Whether we've forgotten it or whether we've discounted ourselves, it doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what is truth, and that is God. And truth is, he made you uniquely and wonderfully to do something special. But you gotta take the steps to accomplish that, you know? I want to play this last part, or this last video. It's the end scene from that movie I'm talking about, Pursuit of Happiness.
Seven.
Nine. Who's the king of the jungle?
Gorilla.
The gorilla? The gorilla? No. Lion.
Oh, yeah. Lion.
Hey, all right, Dad. Pause it. So that man right there crossing paths with Will Smith is actually Chris Gardner. Like, that's the real guy that the whole story was about. I just want you to know that Chris Gardner showed up on the last day of that internship. He made it through the last day. And he ended up getting called into the office, and he won that internship over hundreds of other people. Like, he won that internship. And now Chris Gardner, through his pursuit for his son and for himself, Chris Gardner now has his own multi-million dollar brokerage firm that is his. So he's gone from homeless to uber successful as far as financially, just because he stuck his foot in the ground and said, I don't care what you think of me. I don't care what you expect from me, but I'm starting to expect greatness. I'm starting to expect something new for myself. And I'm not moving unless it's forward. If our community teams could prepare themselves, I just want you to take this time to look at those mission statement papers, to say to yourself, like, where am I at right now? What do I need to accomplish today? Not what my dream for the future is, but what can I do today to make sure that when I go to bed, my life and people around me, their lives are better? What can I do to keep progressing forward? I want you to write something on that sheet, whether it's for your family, whether it's for yourself, whether it's with you and your spouse. Put it on your refrigerator and remember, like, everything comes back to this statement. If we're struggling financially, financial freedom, man, that is our statement of faith, our mission statement. And everything we do is flowing out of this sentence. Quality time. Like, everything I do is going to flow from quality time. Whatever it may be, wherever you are in your life, because we're all going to have different ones, because we're all different, we're all unique, we all have special things that we're supposed to do in our lives. And like I said, we might have swayed, but that doesn't mean it's over. You're never too anything. We already talked about that. You're never too late. You're never too lost. You're never too found. You're never too rich. You're never too poor to accomplish what's in your heart, what God has for you. It might take you a little longer because we've strayed, but you can still come back to center and go forward. Got a special thing for our fathers today, too, just a parting gift. It's a nice, smooth, refreshing root beer, A&W style. So if you're a father, we'd love for you to enjoy a nice root beer when you go home and have a great Father's Day. Appreciate you so much. And please, spend some great time with your family today. So let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity that we get to just come into your house and learn more about you.